It's common to take things for granted and presume that everything is okay. Hello, I'm Phil Sanders, and this is a Bible study in search of the Lord's way. Today, we're going to explore what it means to be presumptuous.
In all the hurry and hustle and confusion of modern living, the Lord has the way. We believe that the Bible is the revelation of His way. We invite you to join us in search of the Lord's way with Phil Sanders.
Welcome to In Search of the Lord's Way. We're here to search the Scriptures for God's will. James 1:17 says that every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. We enjoy great blessings from God and learn what He desires for each of us in Scripture. We must never take these blessings for granted, but respect them and be thankful. Thanks for taking time with us today. We'd love to hear from you, and we want to be a part of your life each week. The Bible treats presumption as a serious offense. We're presumptuous when we are kind of defiant and disregard God's authority and His commands. In religious matters, presumption involves risking the breaking of God's commandments and then still expecting His love and grace. Now, rather than listen to God, we do things the way we want or the way we were taught by others. And so we become presumptuous. Presumptuous sins must be distinguished from sins of ignorance or weakness. They are committed knowingly, deliberately, rebelliously, and sometimes repeatedly. People become presumptuous when they imagine using their talents is more important than God's laws. When churches put pleasing people over the express teaching of the Word of God, they become presumptuous. Presumption describes a condition where someone expects God's mercy and salvation without respecting His ways. It's presumptuous to expect pardon without repentance or obedience. Some believe that God will accept them no matter what they do, so they do what they desire rather than listening to God. We've all seen people cut in line, run red lights, or assume someone's identity. You may have had some unauthorized person use the information on your debit card to buy something. They presume that they could do as they please rather than respect what is right. People also take for granted they can sin against God, but God always knows. Now, we offer this study on presumption free, and if you'd like a printed copy and live in the United States, mail your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083, or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org, or you can call our toll-free telephone number. That number is 1-800-321-8633. Now, for those outside the United States, we also have programs and free materials on our website, searchtv.org. You can also see us on YouTube. We'll now worship in song, read from Psalm 19:9-13, and examine the folly of being presumptuous.
Let me not be ashamed of my enemies' triumph.
Our reading today comes from Psalm 19, verses 9 to 13, and they talk about how we should respond to God. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. That's Psalm 19, a wonderful psalm of David. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that Your Word gives us such clear understanding of what You would have us to do and to be. Father, help us never to be presumptuous or to take for granted the things that we have in You and in Christ Jesus. Help us always to be obedient to Your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 19:13 says, "Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression." Presumptuous sins are great transgressions. They can rule over you if you let them. You can become arrogant or develop selfish ambition and forsake God. Pride often clouds judgment and leads people to ignore or forsake the ways of God. There are numerous examples of pride and presumption in Scripture. You remember after the flood, the family of Noah were commanded in Genesis 9 and verse 7 to be fruitful and multiply, populate the earth abundantly, and multiply in it. Well, instead, the people remained together. And in Genesis 11 and verse 4, they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we'll be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." They defied God. So God confused their language and scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. In Leviticus chapters 8 and 9, Aaron and his sons did just as the Lord commanded. That's mentioned 10 times. But Leviticus 10, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it, and offered strange or unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Nadab and Abihu acted on their own initiative and offered strange or unauthorized fire before the Lord, and they were punished on the spot. God expects people to worship as He commands and not offer strange worship. Now, after Samuel anointed Saul as king of Israel, he told Saul, "Go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I'll come down to you to offer burnt offerings. You shall wait 7 days until I come to you and show you what you should do." 1 Samuel 10, verse 8. Well, Saul, however, didn't fully do what Samuel told him to do. He waited 7 days, the appointed time, but Samuel took his time coming to Gilgal. Consequently, the people were scattering from their new king. So Saul said, "Bring to me the burnt offering and the peace offerings." And Saul offered the burnt offering on his own authority. Samuel said to Saul in 1 Samuel 13:13, "You have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which He commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure." Now, on a later occasion, when Saul presumptuously failed to obey the Lord and fully destroy the Amalekites, Samuel told Saul in 1 Samuel 15:22 to 23, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He also has rejected you from being king." In 2 Samuel 6, David tried to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem on an ox cart. Now the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out to steady the ark. Then God's anger burned against him, striking him dead for his irreverence. 2 Samuel 6 and verse 7. Now, this appears harsh. Uzzah was trying to protect a sacred object. But Uzzah was never to touch the ark, and he knew that. David used an ox cart to carry the ark when the scriptures clearly demanded that the Kohathites were to carry the ark on the poles. What David did then was presumptuous by the ox cart. He thought he had a better way to carry the ark, and he didn't listen to what God wanted. Later, King Ahaz in 2 Kings 16 decided to add a copy of the pagan altar that he saw in Damascus to the temple in Jerusalem for the people to use instead of the Lord's bronze altar. He didn't do what was right in the sight of the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 16, we have the situation where King Uzziah grew proud and acted corruptly. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, as a son of David, he was of the tribe of Judah, not a Levite priest. And because he acted presumptuously, God made him a leper and cut him off from the house of the Lord. False prophets arose in the Old Testament and spoke presumptuously. Moses warned in Deuteronomy 18, verse 20, "But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die." He explains in verse 22, "When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing doesn't come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him." Now, many people call themselves prophets today, but they're often speaking out of their own imagination, not from God. This isn't new. Jeremiah 23:16 says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. God didn't speak to these prophets or send them. Now, according to verse 26, they prophesy falsehood, even these prophets, of the deception of their own heart. Now, people might say, well, Phil, you're using Old Testament examples. We're not under the Old Testament anymore. Well, I realize that we're under the New Covenant. But Paul said to the church at Rome in Romans 15:4, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now, while we aren't under the Old Covenant of Israel, we can learn the ways of God by studying the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus cleansed the temple of the money changers and those who sold animals for sacrifices. The Lord said to those who were selling doves in John 2 and verse 16, take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a place of business. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5 presumed that they could lie about their gift and test the Spirit of the Lord. But both of them fell down and breathed their last breath. The church at Corinth became puffed up over the man who had become sexually immoral with his father's wife in 1 Corinthians 5. But the Apostle Paul judged the man's sins and delivered him over to Satan. Diotrephes in the book of 3 John loved to be first among the brethren and would not listen to the Apostle John. He was domineering with others, and John said that he would deal with him when he came to the church. Jezebel in Revelation 2 called herself a prophetess, but led and taught people to be sexually immoral and eat things sacrificed to idols, and the church tolerated her. The Lord said in Revelation 2, 21 to 23, I gave her time to repent, and she doesn't want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am He who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. The Lord sees and knows what's happening in the churches. People sometimes presume they can live in the grace of God and don't need to repent of their sins. This will cause many to be rejected on the day of judgment and lost eternally. Hebrews 10, 26 to 27 says, for if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. It's foolish, my friend, to presume that you have the grace of God when you aren't willing to live under the rule of God. People are often presumptuously keeping traditions that come from men, not God. They think something has been believed and practiced for many generations, and so it must be all right with God. And they're deceived. You see, time doesn't change God's laws. Here are some examples. Well, it's presumptuous to give religious leaders titles like Reverend or Father. Jesus said in Matthew 23, 9, do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father, He who is in heaven. God is reverent, according to the King James Version, Psalm 111 and verse 9. Men are men, and they are not God. It's presumptuous to worship in song with instruments. There are no commands, examples, or an inference the early church ever worshiped with instruments of music. Hebrews 13, 15 says, through Him then, that is Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. Now, we can read in the New Testament of singing and speaking, but not of playing instruments of music. It's presumptuous for women to assume leadership roles in the worship or in the leadership of the church. Now, everyone lives under the rule of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 says that the women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves, just as the law also says. Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:37 that the things that he writes are the Lord's commandment. Now, Paul also said in 1 Timothy 2:11 to 12 that a woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. But I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. It's presumptuous to believe that all churches are alike. Why, they have different names. They believe different doctrines. They practice different things. Jesus calls those who call themselves Christians to deny themselves and take up their crosses daily and follow Him. Cultural churches that ignore Scripture are being presumptuous. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." It's presumptuous to substitute sprinkling or pouring for immersion in baptism. The word baptize, baptizo, means to cause to dip, to immerse in water. If the Lord had wanted sprinkling, He would have used the word rantizo. Or if He wanted us to pour water, He would have used the word keo. Baptize is a specific word that means to put under the water. Being buried with Christ in baptism is different than sprinkling or pouring. And it's presumptuous to baptize an infant who cannot believe and has never sinned. Philip baptized both men and women when they believed, not infants or small children, Acts 8 verse 12. The words men and women refer to people who are at least someone who's reached their teen years. They were old enough to believe. They were old enough to repent. We have no record in the New Testament of infant baptism. This practice gave rise to the false teaching that children are born in sin. They are not born sinners. Jesus said in Matthew 19 and verse 14, "Let the children alone, and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Nothing about baptism mentioned, but let them come to Him so He could pray for them. I tell you, little children already belong to the Lord. Now, it's foolish to presume that you have eternal life when you aren't willing to hear or obey the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your love, for the joy that we have in Christ Jesus. Help us never to take for granted Your blessings and Your love and Your grace, but help us always to listen and to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. James wrote, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, we'll engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. We must never presume that we have a long life, that we'll be successful, or that we're not accountable to God. God is in control of all things. Psalm 90 and verse 12 advises us, "So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." The Lord Jesus is coming again, but we don't know when. The Lord said in Matthew 24, 35 and 6, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." Now, if we don't know when it's going to take place, it's best to be prepared for His coming now. God wants you to be saved and to know the truth. Believe in the Lord Jesus and believe in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and turn from sin to follow Jesus. Confess your faith and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, just as Acts 2:38 teaches. Baptism is when our sins are truly washed away, Acts 22:16, and when we're planted or united with Christ, Romans 6:3-7. We hope that our study on presumption has caused you to think about your ways. Now, if you live in the United States and want a free printed copy, send your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org. Or you can call the Search office toll-free at 1-800-321-8633. Now, for all of our viewers outside the United States, we have free programs and biblical materials on our website at searchtv.org. Search is also on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel, Search TV Ministry, and then like the programs. We also offer free Bible correspondence courses. Now, don't worry, we're not asking for money. We're here to help you draw close to God. We do ask that you show God your love by worshiping at church. You need a church family. And if you can attend, don't neglect worshiping at church. There's probably a Church of Christ near you. As always, we say to you, God bless you. And we love you from all of us at In Search of the Lord's Way.